Welcome to Chevis Talks. In this series, we delve into the world of nearshoring in Mexico. In each episode, we will discuss the impact of nearshoring from key perspectives: corporate, legal, labor, social security, tax, transfer pricing, and foreign trade. Get ready to discover how these insights present opportunities that Mexico offers in the realm of nearshoring.
Hello, my name is Ana Sofia Rios. I'm partner in the corporate and M&A practice at Chévez Ruiz Amarripa. And here with me today are Luis Manuel Ramírez and Bernardo Ramírez, both partners in our tax consulting practice, and Oscar Campero, partner in our transfer pricing practice. On behalf of Chévez Ruiz Amarripa, we welcome you to this new edition of Chévez Talks. We have prepared the series for you in which we will address the topic of nearshoring in Mexico. On this episode, we will talk about some of the most relevant international tax and transfer pricing issues that companies investing in Mexico should have in mind. Bernardo, I'd like to begin our conversation with you. So we all know Mexico is looking to attract nearshoring investments. How is this happening from a tax perspective? Are there any tax incentives that Mexico is granting to promote this type of investment?
Well, Ana Sofia, there are two main incentives. The first one deals with a presidential decree issued last October to promote certain industrial activities in the southern part of the country, which in a nutshell are summarized as follows. There's a three-year full tax income tax exemption, plus another 3 years of partial income tax exemption, and a one-time accelerated depreciation of assets. And on top of all that, there's a four-year value-added tax exemption for the activities performed within that area. A second incentive that is also very important is a decree aimed to promote export of toll manufacturing activities in certain industries. This decree is applicable nationwide, and it grants an accelerated depreciation deduction for certain type of assets, plus an additional 25% deduction on all those expenses related with the trading of employees. There are very specific rules on how these decrees apply, and taxpayers should be careful as to whether they're applicable for them or not, and if they obtain the registration required to apply such benefits.
Thanks, Bernardo. This, seems like this decrees aim to attract productive investments in the country. Aside from income tax, is there any other federal tax that foreign investors should be aware of?
Yes, the other very important federal tax that investors must keep in mind is the value-added tax. This is imposed at a general rate of 16%, and it is applicable on imports made by the manufacturing entities on the purchase of assets and inventories they may use to produce goods. The most important financial impact that toll manufacturers would have on this tax is that whenever they are setting up a new facility, there are large amounts of VAT paid on the purchase of assets, and the financial cost of recovering this VAT is something that should be considered because the tax authorities take quite some time in refunding the VAT, and it is also a significant challenge.
I agree. Companies might not want to get into that. Well, thank you, Bernardo.
Thank you, Ana.
Now, turning to Luis Manuel, when new companies come in and start operations in Mexico, they need to issue tax documents regarding the activities they carry out, right? What are the requirements on how they issue such documents?
Well, there are mandatory provisions that oblige taxpayers to record through the tax authority systems all the invoices and tax-related documents, so that simultaneously with the taxpayer accounting records, the tax authorities keep track of every relevant tax transaction. It applies to invoices, payroll, withholdings, dividend distributions, etc. There are multiple rules on how these documents have to be issued, and these rules are continuously updated. So, from a compliance perspective, it is very important to pay close attention to these changes.
Okay, so what happens if you don't comply with these requirements?
Well, the deduction of expenses and the ability to support transactions depend on the correct issuance of these electronic documents. Non-compliance of these obligations may derive in imputed income or other adverse tax consequences on top of the applicable penalties.
Okay. No, well, thank you, Luis Manuel. That was very interesting. And now let's move into transfer pricing. Oscar, as a starting point, what elements are required to comply with Mexican law regarding transfer pricing?
Yes. Well, Mexico transfer pricing regime is aligned with the OECD transfer pricing guidelines. Such transfer pricing analysis must be carried out considering established methods in the law and the characteristics of each transaction in order to demonstrate that the consideration established among related parties comply with the arm's length principle. This is that they are complying with market values. We have six methods: comparable control price, resale price, cost plus, profit split, residual profit split, and the last one, transactional net margin method. It is also very important to have a very detailed function analysis in order to describe the transactions carried out. This analysis is related to the functions performed, the assets used, and the risk incurred by the service provider. If transactions include IP, a thorough DMP analysis should be made. This DMP analysis is the new thing in the OECD, which establishes who develops, enhances, maintains, protects, and exploits the intangible. With respect to documentation, to transfer pricing documentation, the Mexican tax authorities includes a transfer pricing report. There's the local file, the master file, also the country-by-country report, as well as many other contemporaneous documentation and informative returns.
Well, that sounds like a lot of compliance right there. Oscar, is there any way to ensure that the considerations in an intercompany transaction comply with these transfer pricing rules?
Sure. We have this, the advanced pricing agreements. It's a mechanism that allows the taxpayers to reach to a consensus.
And can you give us a little bit of sense and timing, and you know, how long does it take to secure this agreement?
Yes, well, whenever you ask for to go to the tax authorities and ask for these advanced pricing agreements, you should submit a lot of information, but you have the certainty that if you comply with it, it will be enforced for 5 years, the year that you requested, the prior year, and three more years after the year that requested. We have also unilateral APAs, bilateral APAs, or multilateral APAs. And I just will add that there are some concerns with respect to these agreements, with this type of agreements, that there's a lot of information that should be provided, and the time concern is important. We have experiences that this may have elapsed for more than 2 or 3 years or even more.
Okay, so it's not that easy to obtain this type of agreements, right?
Yeah, you need a lot of time, yes.
Okay, Oscar. And you know, from a nearshoring perspective, you know, we know that companies starting here in Mexico have headquarters and related parties in other jurisdictions. And we know that intercompany services such as back office services are being performed overseas. And they're being charged to the Mexican companies for those services. So are there any implications from a transfer pricing perspective with this type of structure?
Yes. Well, headquarters services, as you know, are the ones provided to subsidiaries and other related entities. And such services may include a wide range of activities. Some examples are accounting, legal, human resources, IT, marketing, among many others. Such services are often provided on a cost plus basis. This is using one of the transfer pricing methodologies, meaning that the service receptor is charged for the cost of providing said service plus a markup. And the important thing is that such markup must comply with the transfer pricing rules. This is the markup should be at market value, as if it was agreed between independent parties. And an important thing here in Mexico that we have to take care and not to use this type of charges are on a pro rata basis. Whenever you charge to related parties in Mexico pro rata service on a pro rata basis, it will be non-deductible for income tax purposes, as long as, well, you may deduct it, but you have to comply with a lot of rules that are very difficult to do it.
And yeah, this is very important for companies to have in mind while committing to Mexico and having this intercompany services. And I think another interesting topic, you know, regarding transfer pricing that we will see very often with companies coming into Mexico, you know, due to nearshoring is royalties. So what are the tax implications of a Mexican company paying royalties to a non-resident?
Yes, under Mexican law, royalties are defined as any payments for temporary enjoyment and exploitation of intellectual property such as patents, trademarks, copyrights, know-how, among others. And of course, for the use of such property, a royalty must be paid by the licensee to the owner of said intellectual property or intangible. And of course, the royalty must comply with rules. It should be also at the market value. And one thing to consider here is withholding tax that will be enforced for these payments.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Oscar. Just one last question for you. Are there any income tax advantages related to those taxpayers that perform toll manufacturing activities as maquiladora?
Yes, Mexico does have a very broad term and established definition, which includes the delivery of inventories belonging to a non-resident. The compliance with the maquiladora rules for income tax purposes allows taxpayers to avoid such rule, and in the last instance, to make sure the appropriate level of profits is being left in Mexico according to the risk and functions undertaken in the country. The main features and other highlights of maquila programs is addressed in our trade and customs episode of this series.
Thank you, Oscar. Luis Manuel, going back to you, I would like to cover some issues dealing with international taxes. What are the most important competitive advantages for Mexico regarding international taxation?
Well, I would say that Mexico has an extensive treaty network, as of today, around 61, most of them negotiated under the OECD model. And the benefits of such treaties are the reduction of the withholding rates and, in some cases, the elimination of the local taxation. We should highlight that Mexico is one of the few Latin American countries with a tax treaty with the U.S.
Thank you, Luis Manuel. And, you know, in interpreting tax treaties, Mexico has signed and is part of the multilateral instrument. And I understand there will be a before and after in interpreting tax treaties starting 2024 when the MLI comes into effect. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, MLI is an instrument that simultaneously updates almost all the tax treaties in the world to bring them up to the most actual term negotiated by the OECD countries, raising the application standards. It stands out the U.S. has not signed the MLI. Hence, these changes will not apply to U.S. tax treaties. However, these changes will affect U.S. multinationals holding Mexican subsidiaries through other foreign holding companies in issues such as capital gains and dividend distributions.
Excellent. Well, I think we've covered all topics for this episode. Thank you for your time, Bernardo, Luis Manuel, and Oscar. And special thanks to our audience, who I hope joins in for the next episodes. Thank you very much.